Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am glad that you're with us today. It's Friday. Friday's always a good day. Just push back on all the distractions, all the things, the thoughts that are moving around in your head and the things that are competing for your attention, and just listen for what God is going to say to you today. Because we're going to start this spirit, what I call a spiritual inventory. And quite frankly, when I work with the men during the week at the different men's groups, we have 34 questions that we're going to ask ourselves and rate ourselves to see where we are in this spiritual inventory. So we may do this for a while on the radio shows, but if you'll sit back, I think you're going to really enjoy this, and I think it will be somewhat eye-opening. And before we get into it, I want to do two things. I want to first welcome our friends that are listening across the country, and even our friends that are listening across the world. We upload these radio shows onto sermonaudio.com, and we get a monthly download report. And we see, not huge numbers, but we see our program being downloaded all across the United States. And we see our program being downloaded in China, across Europe, South America, Asia. So it's really interesting to see these download reports and know that you are hearing us all the way from where we are now. We appreciate that. And I just want to remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. Just go to our website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. We've got past radio shows archived on that site, along with other things. And then we have a sister website, puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com, where we write our devotionals and have our book that's available to purchase. It's a devotional book. And that gets us started for today, but let me just stop and start with you on this spiritual inventory and set it up for you. The first question I would ask you, and it's a question I ask myself constantly because I found it to be have so much guidance and wisdom, and it's an Andy Stanley question at North Point Church down in Atlanta, is where you're going, where you want to be when you get there. Is where you are going, where you want to be when you get there. Because no matter where you are in life, you are headed towards a destination. And as Andy Stanley points out, it's not your intent that determines your destination, it's your direction. It's not your intent. You intend to do a lot of things and do them right or do them the way that you think they ought to be done, but the direction that you're on is what's going to determine where you end up. Your destination is where you're going, where you want to be when you get there. So the idea of starting off each year, I do a couple of things when I start off each year. I really don't do New Year's resolutions. But what I do is I read Ecclesiastes, which we'll comment on in just a little while. I read Ecclesiastes because this is Solomon writing from a vantage point that he did not know where he was going. And he did not realize that when he got there, he wasn't going to like where he was. If you read Ecclesiastes, and we assume it's Solomon, it certainly seems to be Solomon, he's writing as an older man, looking back over all the things he accomplished, all the things he did, all the things he tried, all the things he bought, built, and he says it meant nothing. It was so meaningless. David Cassidy, the musician who died a couple of months ago, and his last words, his daughter said, was, "So much wasted time." So much wasted time is where you're going, where you want to be when you get there. So I have and I'm going to post these on the website at 721ministries.org. I have a series of questions, and I ask the men, and I'll ask you, to rate yourself from 1 to 10, 1 being not where you want to be, and 10 being where you want to be. It's not a test. It's for you to look at it and say, okay, I'm not where I want to be on this. And I'm just going to read you a few of the questions, and then we'll come back and really dive into the first question. And of course, as I said, I have 34, so we'll spend some time on this next week and the week after. The first question is, the A-plus life to the full that Jesus said he came to give you, the A-plus life to the full, is found through Jesus and then you fill in the blank, or only through Jesus. One, you think that the A-plus life depends on a lot of other things along with Jesus. And 10, you realize that it's really only through Jesus. We're going to circle back around to that. The next one is, I am living with the power of the Holy Spirit. One, none. 5, 3 to 4 to 5, I'm not even sure what it means. 10, I got it. I'm living with the power of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, I tithe 10% on the gross. 1, no, I don't. Somewhere in the middle, I give some, you know, usually when I'm feeling guilty or I feel like I need some good credit points with God. And 10, I don't just tithe on the gross. I do more than that. Number 4, my schedule and busyness rules my life. That'd be a 1. All the way over to 10, no, I rule my schedule and busyness. I have conquered that ultimate weapon that Satan uses against me. Number 5, the joy in my life. What Dallas Willard says, that pervasive sense of well-being. 1, I really don't have much joy. I don't have that pervasive sense of well-being. 10, I'm overflowing with it. 6, I say I want more. I'll say I want to go deeper with Jesus, but I'm not actually digging and trying, and I'm not actually surrendering. Or all the way over to 10, I am digging and I am growing. You see, there's plenty more of these that we'll go through. And again, you can go to the website and you can pick these up and download them and go through it yourself. I highly encourage you to do it. But the question you ask yourself is, if I'm over here near the 1, 2, 3, 4 level, why? Why am I over here? And why am I not over here in the 7, 8, 9, and 10 level? It's not a matter of being a good person or a bad person or a good Christian or a bad Christian. This is not a condemnation type of thing. This is, why are you not living with more of the life Jesus said he came to give you? Now, do you want to tell you what the answer is? There are a lot of answers, but the bottom line is, it's just not important to you. It's up to you. If you're saved, you have all the Holy Spirit. If you're not saved, you have none of the Holy Spirit, and therefore you're going to be down in the 1, 2, or 3, no matter what you think you're doing. But if you're saved, and you're down there in the 1, 2, or 3, you're lukewarm. And you're lukewarm because it's not important to you to be on fire for Jesus. It's just not. Now, you can fuss with me. You can get mad with me. You can give me all the excuses. I sent the men an opening email for this year in January, and I quoted, and I cannot find the source of the quote. But here's the quotation. If it's important to you, you will make it happen. If it's not, you will make excuses. I mean, isn't that just the bottom line? Isn't that just true? If it's important to you, you will make it happen. If it's not, you will make excuses. That's true in my life. It's true in your life. If there are things that I really, they're just not important to me, I could say they are. I could tell the person that they are. But if I'm not making it happen, then it's not. You know, we have these weekly meetings in Lawrence, South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, Spartanburg, Columbia. And we have a group of men that come to each one of these, and maybe the total roll call would be a couple of hundred men for all of them. But men come in varying levels of consistency. And just the other day, a man walked in, and I said, "Where have you been, my friend? I've missed seeing you." And he said, "It just wasn't important to me." Because he knows, he's heard me say it enough, he knows that's the bottom line. When men say, "Sam, I've been meaning to get to the meetings," I'll say, "Well, you'll come when it's important to you." "Oh, it's important to me?" And I say, "Come on, I'm not, it's impersonal, it's not important, because you'd make it happen if it was important." It's the same for you. If it was important, you'd make it happen. I'm driving down the road just yesterday, and I'm thinking in terms of this. This just crystallized in my mind, I think, from the Holy Spirit. If you knew him, you would pursue him. When it comes to Jesus, when it comes to your Heavenly Father, if you knew him, you would pursue him. If it's important to you, you'll make it happen. If it's not, you'll make excuses. And I'm not trying to beat up on you today. I'm trying to encourage you. But I do feel the need to warn you that you will stand before God Almighty one day. You will. And there'll be an accounting. It's throughout Scripture. Jesus says it more than once. And what you don't want to be saying to God Almighty is, it just wasn't important to me. It comes time when it comes to reading Scripture, spending time in Scripture, not because you're checking it off on a list, but spending time in Scripture, spending quiet time with the Lord where your brain can just resonate with Him, your heart can resonate with Him, looking through the Scripture with such interest and zeal and depth that you see passages that you want to memorize, not because someone is telling you to memorize Scripture, you just want to plant that into your heart. That when you're reading Scripture, you're slowing down so you can understand, you can seek to understand, you're asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate and give you clarity. You're cross-referencing passages because you want to see what the Old Testament, someone in the Old Testament said, and what maybe Jesus was referring to in another setting. You're doing those things because it's important to you. You don't want to stand before God Almighty and have to ultimately, because there'll be no excuses on that day, will there? Oh, come on. There won't be any, well, you know, work was really busy, or my children and I had to run these. No, there'll be none of that. It'll just be, it just wasn't that important to me. So I encourage you, I implore you, I rebuke you if you want me to, that you think about this spiritual inventory and about what is really important to you. And I'll finish this first half of the show with this reading from Philippians 3:10, where Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. I want to know Christ and that Holy Spirit power of His resurrection. And then I would say underneath that, and I will do anything and I'll surrender anything that it takes to know Him better, because I know Him and I want to pursue Him. If you knew Him, you would pursue Him. I'm going to come back to this first question, the A-plus life is through Jesus or Jesus plus, in just a moment. This is Sam Hunter, 721 Live. More straight ahead. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad that you're with us. We're going to work our way through this spiritual inventory that, again, we'll put on the website, 721ministries.org. We'll put it on the sister website, puttinggreenblog.com, puttinggreenblog.com, so that you can kind of go through. I really encourage you to print these off. Sit down with yourself. Maybe share them with your family members. And just ask yourself, where am I? From a scale of 1 to 10, this first question that we're going to talk about for this second half of the show, the A-plus life, that's what I call it. The life to the full is what Jesus called it. You know, in John 10:10, He said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through Me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. If I'm it, if I'm the gate, then wherever you go, you're going to find pasture. Green, wonderful, calming, relaxing, yet sustaining pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come. I've come so that you may have life. And life to the full. So the first question is, do you believe that the A-plus life to the full is through Jesus and only Jesus? That would put you over on the 10 side. Or Jesus plus some other things in life. And that puts you closer to the 1 side. Let's think about that for a moment. The life to the full comes through Jesus. Well, if you're listening to this show, you're going to nod yes to that. Of course you are. But do you really believe that? The A-plus life comes only through Jesus. Or is it really some things that you just really couldn't live without? You couldn't have the joy, that pervasive sense of well-being, if you didn't have these other things in your life. Now, the things we're going to talk about that prop you up, the things that you think you have to be happy, they're not bad things typically, but they're just not Jesus. So, some of them would be obvious. Yes, Jesus is the only way, but I got to have enough money to live on. Matter of fact, I got to have more than enough money to live on. So it's Jesus, yes, and yeah, I know it's money that can't buy happiness and all that, but it can rent a lot of happiness. Can't buy joy, but it can rent happiness. So it's Jesus plus money. Don't be ridiculous. Don't try to be one of those Christian, Sam, that says money's not important. I like money. I think money is important. But see, all of these things that we're going to talk about, they have to be the icing on the cake, not the cake itself. Jesus has to be the cake. All these other things, they can be the icing, and then they're great. But if you try to make them the cake, that's a terrible foundation. Too much of it trying to be the cake is just going to fall apart on you. So, it's Jesus plus enough money, Jesus plus my wife acting right and looking right, Jesus plus my husband being sweeter and kinder to me and better with the children, Jesus plus me having a husband to start with, or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, Jesus plus my children being healthy. Everybody wants their children to be healthy. I'm not in any way saying we shouldn't. My children being healthy, my children being successful, my children being popular, my children being a part of all the different things that nowadays they have to be a part of so they don't get left behind. Travel ball, every activity that comes along. The A-plus life comes through Jesus and having great health, looking good, having white teeth, being members of the right society, community societies. Clemson doing well, Carolina doing well. It's Jesus, yes, but it's Jesus. Come on, let's be realistic. It's Jesus plus my car, having a good car, good, even a better car, some people. It just depends on where you are. But the truth is, these things are great as icing, but they cannot be the cake. They have no place in your life at anywhere but the icing. Jesus is the cake. I want to ask you to think about this. Think about your top priorities in life and your top responsibilities. You'd put God first, probably. If you're listening to this show, you would. But then you may say, my wife, my husband, my family, my health, my job, community, relationships. Those would be in some order. Do you believe that if Jesus is number one in your life, if your relationship with him is going deeper and deeper, and richer and richer, and that you are digging and you are surrendering, and the richness and the joy of your relationship with Jesus, if that is thriving, then all these other things will be, they'll be saturated with Jesus, and no matter what's going on, they'll just have a better life to them. They'll have more energy to them. They'll have more richness. The colors will be brighter. Your money situation will have a different hue to it. Your family situation, your business, your health, your relationships. Do you believe that if Jesus is your primary objective, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and I will do anything, and I will surrender anything to get to know him better? Because I will tell you, if you knew him, you would pursue him. Do you believe that these other things are necessary? I'm not saying they're not good. I'm not saying they're not fun. I like them all. But I have learned over the years that if Jesus is number one and my relationship with him is thriving and going deeper, and I'm going deeper into the kingdom, then all these other things, they just get better. And if he's not, then they just have an emptiness to them. That's why I like to read Ecclesiastes at the beginning of the year, because this is Solomon who didn't ask these questions. He starts off in chapter 1, the words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. You know what comes next. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Other translations will say vanity upon vanity. That means emptiness. Air, breath, smoke, it all amounts to nothing is what Solomon is saying. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets. He's saying all of this just keeps happening over and over and over. He says in verse 12, I was the king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore my wisdom. You remember, that's what he asked God for, wisdom. And to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. He said, I said to myself, look, I have increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much of the wisdom and knowledge as much as anyone has. Then I applied myself to understanding it. But I learned that this too, it's just chasing after the wind. And then at the end of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 12, verse 13, here's his conclusion. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Fear God. Pursue God. Love God. Worship God. And follow his commandments. Keep them. This glorifies him and brings you the A-plus life, which then, in turn, again glorifies him. And Solomon concludes with, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Solomon accomplished everything that could be accomplished, but he didn't know Jesus. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. Do you know that Solomon is not even in the Hebrews 11 great chapter of faith? He didn't even get a listing. They slide right by him, Samuel to David, and then on beyond, no Solomon. Do you think that Jesus is everything, that your Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, is everything, and that everything else will be good and will be influenced and will be raised in its value and its richness, that everything else will have a fruit that will last aspect to it from Galatians 5? Or do you live your life pursuing things because you think if these aren't right, then I cannot be happy? You do understand the nuance here. I'm not suggesting you sit in a closet and do nothing. And I'm certainly not suggesting that the things that we would list as being important to us are not important and aren't valuable. And I'm not suggesting they don't add to life. But they cannot be the icing. Jesus himself, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, living in the kingdom, going deeper, getting to know your Heavenly Father more intimately, Jesus becoming more and more important. And then what is the promise? And all these other things, the things that you have on your list that at this point are cake and not icing, they're propping you up. He says all these other things will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about those if you'll seek first the kingdom of God. So you really have to ask yourself. And let me remind you, these things we're talking about, they're not for super Christians. They're for anyone who follows Jesus. Do I believe that Jesus is it and everything else falls behind him? Now, I keep using the word believe, and I have to switch gears because all of you believe it. But do you live it? Do you know it with such conviction that it is just the way you live? You know, think about the I ams that Jesus said. Think about what he said. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. See, he told the Samaritan woman at the well, you keep coming back to this regular water, this water of the world, and you'll stay thirsty. You'll be thirsty over and over and over. You'll have to keep coming back. But if you drink the living water, you'll never be thirsty again. If you eat the bread of life, you'll never be hungry again. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. These I ams are not I can be's. They are not add me to something else and the combination will be. No, it is I am. And the next question that we'll look at next week is, am I living with the power of the Holy Spirit? Because if Jesus isn't the first, you will not be living with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll keep asking and reminding you the question, why are you closer to 1, 2, 3 versus why not are you closer to 8, 9, and 10, that richness of life? And sadly, it's because it's just not important to you. Go to the website, 721ministries.org, puttinggreenblog.com, and pull down this spiritual inventory. Start rating yourself. May you want to and come to know Him, because if you knew Him, you would pursue Him. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. So long, God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.